You know the saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away? Well, today we're going to put a twist on that because for this week's Meet the Listener guest, it was a case of a durian at midnight is a dentist's delight. Sometimes I can't actually believe what I've just said. Cheryl Reid wrote to us in defence of the durian after hearing Walter Mason talk about the foul-smelling fruit, which is native to Southeast Asia. Cheryl's originally from Brisbane, but she lives in Brunei now, and we've got her on the line. Welcome to Life Matters, Cheryl.
Good morning, Richard.
Before we get to why you're in Brunei, I want to hear all about you and the durian.
Well, I first tried durian, I think, when I was 20, when I was travelling in Indonesia with a girlfriend, and I didn't like it.
I think that happens a lot, actually.
Yes. No, but in this case, I know now that it was because it wasn't ripe, and it tasted a little bit like a firm onion-flavoured custard without the sugar. So I wasn't at all impressed. But a few months later, I was in Thailand, again with my friend Linda, and someone talked me into trying another durian, and this time it was a completely different experience. And from that day on, I've loved them.
Now, I understand that you ended up cruising the streets with your dentist.
Yes. I recently spent 3 years living in Indonesia, and durian is very important there, as it is in many other Southeast Asian countries. And one particularly nice custom, I guess, is the durian party, where you will set out in a car with a group of relatives and friends and go looking for durian to eat. And very conveniently, the sellers who may come in from the countryside set up little makeshift stalls by the sides of the roads, and you can pull up anywhere and taste a durian and stay for as long as you like.
And you do this at night, do you? Or?
Well, we did it at night because he's a busy man during the day. And
what, the dentist?
The dentist is a busy man during the day. And at the time, I happened to be staying with him for a few days whilst I was visiting Surabaya. And they just invited me to join them, and it was just such a lovely experience. It was pouring with rain, and we all sat under this very leaky plastic shelter, trying one durian after another.
It sounds like an experience you wouldn't forget. Can I just ask you about the dentist, though? Because I like my dentist. He's a good man. He's very strict. You never quite measure up, but you're always encouraged to persevere with him. But I have never been out with him on a social occasion.
Oh, okay. Well, it's quite different, I guess, for some people in Indonesia. I suppose the fact that I was a Westerner made me perhaps just a little more of an oddity. Mm. Maybe not. But quite a few of my friends went to him as well. I was over there on an Australian aid program, and quite a few Australians went to him. One day, I asked him to explain something to me about what was going on with my teeth, and he did such a lovely job of it. I said, you know, you're not really a dentist, you're an engineer. And he loved that, because he said he really wanted to be an engineer, and his parents wouldn't allow him to be one.
A dental engineer.
Yes.
So one of the things you mentioned in your letter to us was that the fruit, the durian's a great way to make friends.
Well, it is, because there are millions and millions of people who absolutely love durian. And in many places, though, if they're imported from the countryside, they'll be a little bit expensive. So if you're in a town somewhere in Indonesia in durian season and you buy one and then just ask the people around you, the locals around you, if they'd like to share it with you, you'll make instant friends.
It's a big fruit, isn't it?
It can be. We have durian here in Brunei, which are native to this area, which are quite small, perhaps the size of a small rock melon, with brilliant orange flesh, which is very different to the durian, for example, that commonly come from Thailand, which can be very large and with a very pale, creamy coloured flesh.
Now, I'll ask you in a minute about living in Brunei, but I understand that the durian comes with a warning, according to the Javanese, at least.
Yes, they say that when the durians fall, the sarongs go up. It's regarded as an aphrodisiac.
I see.
So they say.
Right. You're being very careful in your use of language, I notice, Cheryl.
I'm a teacher, Richard.
Okay, fair enough. Now, you're living in Brunei now. Whereabouts?
I live in a town called Kuala Belait, which is down on the southwest corner, very close to the border with Malaysia. It's the area where oil comes from.
Right. And what are you doing there?
I teach English in a government high school.
Right.
And there are certainly more than 200 teachers from different countries here teaching English in those schools.
What are the backgrounds of your students?
Although I live in Kuala Belait, I teach in a town which is 15 kilometres away called Suria. My students vary a great deal from coming from families with a good income and very settled circumstances to children who come from broken families and live, I would imagine, in poverty, which surprises people sometimes because they imagine this country is fabulously rich and that everyone therefore must be very rich, but that's not the case. Like any country, there are students who come from very disadvantaged backgrounds, and we have a large proportion of those in our school.
Right, okay. On Life Matters, I should just tell people, if you've just joined us, our Meet the Listener guest this week is Cheryl Reid. She lives in Brunei at the moment, but she's from Brisbane, and she got in touch after we spoke to Walter Mason a couple of weeks ago, and he recounted how he ate the durian. I think this was in Vietnam, and he found this quite a confronting experience. Cheryl has written in defence of the durian. So I guess you've teached in quite a few... You've taught. God, I'm doing what my son does. He says that. And we talked about it on Friday's talk back about inventing words.
Well, you need to do some revision of past simple tense irregular verbs.
Yeah, I know. And you know, I've nearly killed him on several occasions for saying that word. You've taught in several countries. What's it like to teach in Brunei?
Well, I think originally, like me, a lot of people are drawn to this country because we're not taxed here. And many of us pay no rent, so we can save money here. And also the travel is fantastic during the holidays because we have access to really, really good fares here. But I think we stay either for the reason that life is very comfortable here, so lifestyle for many people is the reason they might choose to stay for a longer period. But for me, it's just the kids in the school. I find I enjoy going to school, and all day long there are children walking around saying, "Morning, Chur." They call us Chur, which is short for teacher. Morning, Chur, even in the afternoon, but that doesn't matter. They're just really friendly, nice kids.
So does teaching students in... Is there something about the country that makes the teaching experience just more enjoyable?
I would say that there is something about the cultures of Southeast Asia, perhaps, which still teaches children that education is to be valued, although I must say that a lot of my students are not highly motivated. We're not a high-performing school in terms of academic scores. But they still recognise that education is fundamentally very valuable, and also there's still a respect for older people.
So,
and because I have grey hairs, which is a great
advantage. Yes. So you have, what, fewer rat bags in each class than you would if you were in Brisbane?
Absolutely. In my experience, and I have to say, though, that there are teachers in this country working in very large schools in the city who would not agree with that. So I can't say it's the same for every school in the country. But certainly I'm teaching the equivalent of nice, friendly, probably under-motivated country kids that you might find in South Western Australia.
All right. We'd better let you get to class, because even though you are 3 hours behind, school begins quite early, doesn't it?
It's 7:15, yes.
To kind of cope with the heat of the day?
Well, I think people generally just get started earlier, and it's the same in Indonesia. People start very early, although businesses often start a bit later. And shopping centres, for some reason, open at 10.
All right. Well, thank it's so easy. Thank you very much for joining us today.
You're welcome, Richard. It's been a pleasure.
That's Cheryl Reid, a Brunei resident, Radio National fan. I'll be writing out my lines. Teached is not a word. I promise to write out a lot of them.